We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
And we're coming live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. We've been trying to tell you we're a football town here in New York, but you wouldn't listen. The Jets and the Giants take care of business on Sunday, but that's not the big story as the Mets get swept by the Braves down in Atlanta, and they are on the verge of losing the division officially. Everybody expects that to happen. The magic number is one for the Braves. All they have to do is win one game because now they have the tiebreaker after this three-game sweep. And yes, this has been a spectacular season. There's been so many great moments, and the season isn't over. But as we sit here this morning, as good as they have been, it feels like another collapse because you got your asses kicked with your best weapons on the mound. 1-2-3. And oh, by the way, let's not forget you got swept by the Chicago Cubs at home as well. So, yeah, you could still win 100 games. Yeah, you could still win a World Series because you're in the playoffs. But it feels like another Mets collapse this morning. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Honey.
Good morning, Gene.
Is that a panic button?
It's a panic button.
All right.
Yeah. And I have to say that, I guess we're going to start with the negative because we're New Yorkers. We tend to always start with the negative as opposed to the positive. There's a lot of positive to get to, especially one Zach Wilson who showed his stones late in this game yesterday. If you were a Jet fan and you watched that and you were really disappointed with the way that he played in the first half, I'll tell you what, that fourth quarter was beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and did everything he was supposed to. Now, saying that, every position player, with the exception of Jeff McNeil, got outplayed between the Braves and the Mets. The Mets, the games didn't really even feel that close. The scores, I don't necessarily know, indicated how the Braves put on a baseball clinic against the New York Mets, the way they play defense, the way they hit home runs. And we knew they were a home run hitting team, but we also felt like we had the pitchers that were going to be able to nullify those home runs. And those home runs were not nullified, and this is basically the way the Braves, have won a World Series last year. You know, when you think about, like, Olsen, Swanson, and Riley, just think about those guys for a second. Then you think Harris. You think every single place where they have significant players, they all came through in some way, shape, or form, whether it be by playing flawless defense, hitting home runs. I mean, the Mets had a lot of hits in this series.
Yeah, but they were all singles.
Yeah, I know
they had a couple solo home runs last night, but I mean, it was extra base hits, it was home runs, it was clutch, it was everything that the Braves needed to do offensively, and the Mets couldn't get it done. And the worst part about it was, I mean, this is supposed to be how the Mets are going to win a World Series. DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, that's how they're supposed to win it. And they just got completely roasted down
there. Well, they gave up home runs, and then that's the problem. And, you know, when the pitchers that you have are not doing what they're supposed to do, meaning keeping the other team off the scoreboard via the home run, then you have a problem. And we can look at it from an offensive perspective, too, because Swanson outplayed Lindor, Olsen outplayed Alonso, Harris outplayed Nimmo. I mean, you can go right around the, you know, the base paths, and almost every single player outplayed their Met counterpart. And, you know, they had Charlie Morton on the ropes last night. I mean, they had 9 hits on him, and they just could not just break through. And, you know, I don't know how many times you need a 2-out rally to score a run. And this is why, and this particular series encapsulates everything there is to know about why teams want to hit home runs. You know, why the launch angle and hitting home runs is so important, as opposed to getting the single, getting the key hit, and, you know, not the key hit, but just getting the single, getting on base, and a walk is as good as a hit. In this series, it showed you just how important and why everybody wants to hit home runs.
Yeah, but how many times we also talked about when that home run hitting team goes cold and they can't find another way to score runs, like the Yankees, who have failed in the postseason in numerous years with that same mentality. And you say, all right, you need more singles hitters. You need more guys like DJ LeMahieu. You need stuff like that. So I can't all of a sudden flip the script there. This wasn't the fact that the Braves just were better at hitting home runs. They were just flat out better, period. And they've been better for the last number of months. And it's just, I know that if the Mets were in a different division, well, obviously in the NL West, the Dodgers have run away with it. But, you know, they would have coasted to the division if they were in the NL Central. They would have coasted the division if they were in any of the American League divisions. It would have been a great season. But unfortunately, they've got the defending World Series champions who are better than they are in their division, and this now changes everything when it comes to winning a championship, which is something that's been on our minds for the better part of 3 months now with the way that the Mets have played and continue to play well, because you got a wild card series that's probably going to be against the Padres. There's still a chance it's going to be the Phillies. And then, if you win that series, you face the Dodgers in the NLDS right off the bat. So, this was worst case. Absolutely pathetic, didn't expect it to happen, so disappointing. And now, after leading the division almost every single day of this year, back in end of March to October, they have been in first place, and now when it counts, they're not. And that just flat out sucks. Now, I'm not saying they can't turn it on and then go on a run in the postseason, but we just saw the team. So, like, this series, it basically was all hands on deck, push all the chips in the middle of the table, whatever stupid analogy you want to use for a big sort of playoff series in a regular season, and they failed miserably.
Right, and when you needed your best players to be their best, unfortunately, your top end pitching, you know, I was really disappointed in Bassett last night. I mean, that was...
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's been great all year. You know, I was disappointed in Scherzer. You know, the whole East West North South thing, and we're paying you $43 million, and it looks a lot like at the end of last year with the Dodgers.
Yeah,
you know, tired arm kind of thing, and then of course DeGrom, who's going to opt out. So you have, I mean, like, look, they'll have a chance to get it right again. You know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, they'll have to do it the hard way, and you know they're going to play most likely a San Diego team, and if they do play San Diego, they have a losing record against them. They're 2-4 against San Diego this year. So, you know, that's a whole nother situation. I mean, it's amazing how well the Braves play baseball, though. And they have played baseball great for the last 3 months. I mean, it is about as flawless as you can ask for.
Yeah, I know. And that's why that idea out there, even saw, you know, Mark Feinstein, who's been covering baseball for a long time, tweet out again, like, this wasn't a Mets problem. This is the Braves playing out of their minds. But I'm sorry, it is a Mets problem. And the Braves have played out of their minds, and they're playing at a clip that no one expected them to. But, I mean, you got swept with DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett on the mound, where all you had to do was win one game, and then you would have had the tiebreaker, and you could have gone into the last series with a chance to win the division still, and you couldn't even do that. And then let's go back to losing 2 out of 3 of the Nationals. You're getting swept by the Cubs at home.
Well, that's,
those are huge opportunities that you screwed up.
Getting swept by the Cubs was really, I think, the kind of the nail in the division coffin when you look back at it. Because that's one thing that the Braves didn't do. You know, they were getting swept by bad teams.
No.
I mean, they were on the come ever since Michael Harris was brought up. I thought they talked about it last night, that the play that Riley made at third base, where he lets the ball go and it's a foul ball. I mean,
it changed everything. I mean, it would have been another run. I mean, it was just, listen, he took a risk and he gets credit for it.
Well, I mean, that's part of the instinct of a great baseball player.
Yeah.
I mean, he signed long term. I mean, you think about first base, center field, third base, Now, Swanson's going to be a free agent, and he's killed the Mets.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
killed the Mets. I mean, it was, you know, and then you, and then the pitchers try to explain what happened after the game, and Bunk tries to explain what happened after the game. Here's the deal. The Dodgers are, well, I actually think the Braves are better than the Dodgers. I really do. The Dodgers just been kind of like coasting now for the last, you know, 45 days, taking care of business, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Just beating all these bad teams, as opposed to the Mets losing to bad teams. I can understand the Mets losing to the Braves in this fashion. What I can't get my head wrapped around is how they got swept by the Cubs, how they lose 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. Just the crappy teams that they lose to, which ultimately, when it comes down to it, you look and you go back and you look at the schedule, you know, that's where they lost this whole thing. They didn't take care of the business that they needed to take care of while the Braves were beating those bad teams.
Yeah, but you still went into this series up a game with the two guys that everybody has talked about are basically unbeatable in the first two games of the series, and they failed the team, and they failed the fan base, and they blew it. One guy's making over $40 million a year. Another guy wants $45, $50 million a year. And when it counted, they both came up small. Well, and that's really what it came down to.
Well, the good thing for them is that they're going to have a chance to rebound.
Yeah.
They'll have a chance to rebound, and it's you know, it's the improbable. I think that when you look at them now, you know that the Dodgers and you know the Braves, both teams, are better than the Mets. They are. They just are. They have better hitters. You would say that the Mets have supposedly the starting pitching advantage, but I don't even know if that's the case.
Yeah.
They're going to be giving up home runs.
I mean, I didn't feel that way, and I can't sit here now and say that the Mets are better than the Braves. But going into the series, that's what I believed. Because they had been in first place the entire year. They had a winning record against Atlanta going into this series. I believe that they were better. Now I can't say that now.
That
of course
was,
not.
No, that was a clinic on how to play baseball. Yeah. And I would also say the middle relief was outpitched. I would say, you know, we never even saw Edwin Diaz,
right,
essentially, in any sort of high leverage situation at all. It never got to that point.
Yeah, it's so discouraging. And I understand that Bassett's not DeGrom or Scherzer, but you get that lead. Finally, you have a big offensive inning. You're up 3-1, and he goes out there, and he can't throw strikes. The Darno single, he's just a mess. And he gives the lead right back up, and then that was the end of it.
You know what? It's interesting. Somebody said, how do you know a team is kind of like out of whack or a team can't handle the pressure? It's normally, I think it was Ron Darling said it on Friday night. I think Gary asked him. And Ronnie said, you know, when all of a sudden they start doing things differently than they have done all year because the pressure is so much and it's magnified. And maybe the experience that the Braves had last year, gave them the ability just to calmly go about their business and do what they're doing. Like, and I was thinking about, like, so, you know, McCann, who's just awful, can't, you know, it's just a total waste of space right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hits a ball and slides in the first place, feet first. You know, and I know he's trying to, you know, avoid the tag and stuff like that. But that's the kind of crap that guys do when, you know, they're out of whack and the pressure is too hard. It's too much.
Yeah, but and it wasn't for this team the entire year. And that's what's so discouraging about it. And, you know, you go into the series with high hopes. I mean, I did. I was positive. And, of course, everybody, you know, will kill you for that after you get swept. But I had believed in this. There was no reason not to believe in that.
I think you got to stop believing. See, this is the thing. I didn't want to really get into it. But, I mean, on Friday, you're like, oh, we're going to sweep it. I'm like, hey,
why not, though? Why? But why not? I'm not going to apologize for being positive about it.
I mean, I kind of like you.
If I sat there and was like, you know what, they're going to get swept by the Braves, be like, oh, you're so negative, you're not even a Mets fan, blah, blah, blah. This people would have said, how can you be a fan and think they're going to get swept?
Yeah, but then if they would have swept in reverse and then you would have said that, and we would have said, you know, there's something really to this, like, reverse jinx thing that you have. Although I'm not pinning it on you, I'm just saying that, you know, you said the word sweep
in
terms of the Mets, and I'm like,
I didn't predict a sweep. I just said that you'd win the division if you swept them, and you could be celebrating down there, which was a fact. That was a fact. If they would have swept them, they would have won a division.
Man, and Braves are a good team, man.
Yeah, well,
they are a good team.
But what are the Mets right now is the question. I don't even care. I'm tired of the Braves. What are the Mets? Are they a good team? Do they have a chance to win a championship? Is this weekend when we're watching them against the Padres or the Phillies, are we thinking, hey, you win this series, you get hot, you got a chance to win a World Series, or just a matter of time to get knocked out by a better baseball team?
One of the other reasons that this may end up hurting the Mets in the long run especially if they lose to, they won't lose to the Phillies, but I could see them losing to San Diego, is if Starling Marte can't come back.
I mean, remember when he was day to day?
Yeah,
he was day to day after that, and right. We haven't seen him for what was, 6 weeks feels
and,
like.
And he was like, you know, the straw that was stirring the offensive drink. He was such a significant player, and then he gets hit on the hand. Was that against Miami or Washington or something? I forget which crappy team that was against.
Yeah, I don't remember. It doesn't matter. He's been out for that long.
I mean, he had been playing great, and then all of a sudden gets hit in the hand and he's gone. And that has killed us. That has really killed us. But, you know, good teams should be able to overcome the loss of one guy. I mean, they've been relatively healthy everywhere else.
Yeah, and if they end up getting knocked out by the Padres or even the Dodgers in the NLDS, I mean, it's just like this whole season to me feels like a waste. I'm sorry. For a guy who is, you know, I'm 40. I was 4 when the Mets won in 86. I don't remember any of that. I have not seen them win a championship. A great regular season, then getting knocked out early. It's a waste. None of it means anything. I'm not going to remember a damn thing about this regular season. I won't care. Because I believed halfway through the season that this team was good enough to win a World Series. So if it gets smacked around by the Padres in this wild card series, then this season means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. You can put up a little wild card banner there at Citi Field if you want. Yeah, you made the playoffs, but you should have been better than that.
Yeah, it's not the Seattle Mariners making the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, they hadn't made the playoffs in 20 years.
Yep.
You know, so they have a right to celebrate and feel good about their accomplishments, but that's the...
Got the highest payroll in baseball, too, by the way.
Yeah, well...
So now you're going to start getting criticized like the Yankees get criticized for spending all the money and then not winning.
Now it's shut up or put up time, right?
Oh, yeah. No, but it was this weekend.
Put up or shut up time.
But it was this weekend, and they failed miserably.
Like they'll have next weekend to do this. They'll do it all over again.
Should never be playing this weekend.
It's going to be a long week for the boys.
Yeah, they should have never been playing this weekend.
It is going to be a long, long week.
Yeah.
Until they get to the start of the playoffs. It is going to be excruciating. It's like when a football team loses a bad game and they have that whole week to listen to all the naysayers and all the criticism that comes their way. They now are going to feel exactly how a football team feels for an entire week until we get to the playoffs. Next Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3-game series at Citi Field, either against the Padres or the Philadelphia Phillies, if the Braves win one more game, which you expect them to do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We're in Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A little bit of good, a little bit of bad this weekend. Jerry Recco's got it all for you. Good morning, Jerry.
All right, good morning, Jay. We're brought to you by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll get to the football in just a moment, but Sunday night baseball, big game for your Metsies. Fair to say a former Met did them in again.
Swinging a ground ball, base hits. Scoring is Acuña, scoring is Riley. Olson goes to third. Travis Darno, after a long at bat, delivers a go-ahead two-run single.
That was Wayne Randazzo.
Darno is taken to the playoffs.
CBS 880.
Yeah, you put that guy in a Met uniform. That's either a pop-up or a strikeout.
Yeah, well, it wasn't last night. It actually was
fouling off pitches.
And then won the battle.
Yeah.
5-3 the final. Braves beat the Mets, whose offense abandoned them this weekend. They scored those three runs early and then did nothing the rest of the way. And so the Braves with a two-game lead now with just three games to go in the NL East. Here was Buck Showalter. So what the hell happened this weekend as you were swept away?
They pitched a little better than we did, and they swung the bats a little bit better than we did. We had trouble keeping the ball in the ballpark, but that's been the case with them all year. But, you know, they beat us one more time, and we beat them this year.
And they have the tiebreaker now as well. So it's a two-game lead, but it's really a two-and-a-half-game lead. Here was Chris Bassitt. His line, terrible. Four runs, three hits, three walks. He didn't even get out of the third inning.
Directionally not that great. Didn't throw enough quality strikes. Pretty much beat myself, but... yeah, that's about it.
Pete Alonso tips his cap to Atlanta.
I thought we played well, but I mean the Braves, they played better. I mean they played excellent baseball this entire weekend.
I said to Al, even ESPN said mark down that foul ball down the third baseline that Austin Riley let go.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been another run, and it turned out to be a huge play in the game. Here was Francisco Lindor. So you just got swept. The division looks not good. Can you just turn the page now?
I mean, you kind of have to shake it off. I mean, it doesn't feel good. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to focus on what you have in front of you. And that's focus on the Washington Nationals.
And that series starts tonight at Citi Field. Carlos Carrasco makes the start. Mets still 98-61. The Braves 159 into the final few days. And yes, if the Mets are the wild card team, they would be home on Friday right now. It looks like it would be San Diego, but that can still change. Orioles, Yankees yesterday, and this was a disappointing day all around as well.
And Chapman deals high ball four. It forces in a run, and Baltimore takes a 2-1 lead. And here is Aaron Boone
to take out Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
The Orioles beat the Yankees 3-1. Gunnar Henderson drew that bases-loaded walk. Austin Hayes tacked on a sack fly and an RBI. And Aaron Judge went over 3 with a walk and 3 strikeouts. Still sitting with those 61 home runs. Aaron Boone says 62 just didn't happen.
A lot of things have to sync up for even the greatest of the great to go deep. So obviously would have been great here, but... we move on.
Here was Judge. He was asked if he's feeling the pressure of hitting 62, especially this weekend in front of the fans.
No pressure. You know, it'd be nice to, you know, hit it at home and, you know, do something special like that for the home fans. But, you know, end of the day, you know, I got a job to do. I got, you know, at bats getting ready for the postseason.
And that will start on the 11th. Next Tuesday, the Yankees are locked into that. Yankees in Texas tonight. Luis Severino, the start on the Fan at 6:25. All right, to the football now. And we'll alter each hour who we start with. This hour, we will start with the Jets, who were down 20-10. Was it 20-10? 20-10. They get the one touchdown to make it 20-17. They get an interception and then a near disaster, but that's not the case.
They'll give it to Hall. Looking for the end zone, and did he get there? He lost the football. Looks like Tyler Conklin may have recovered the ball.
He might have, but he did cross the plane, and it was a touchdown, and it was 24-20, just 9 seconds to go. Greg Gumbel on CBS. Zach Wilson, 252 yards, a fourth-quarter touchdown to Corey Davis. He caught a touchdown earlier in the game, Braxton Berrios. Now I take you back to Friday. Because, as you guys know, Al and I like to do cool games, as we do, and we were discussing this game.
What about this, Jerry? The return of Zach Wilson. The New York Jets head to Pittsburgh, where they'll play the Steelers and Mitch Trubisky at 1 o'clock. Jerry, is this a cool game?
Is Rex Ryan on the sidelines?
He is not.
Is Ben Roethlisberger playing?
No. No. Not a cool game.
A peaking game. Peaking game turned out to be, though, not so bad. And I would like to thank Brian.
Peaking game.
That's all it was a peaking game. But I would like to thank Brian Costello for doing us a solid. He did the last question of the press conference. He asked Rob Saleh if he agreed with our take that it wasn't a cool game.
This was a cool game because it was a back-and-forth game.
So yeah. I guess we were wrong.
Really?
All right.
So, so at halftime of this game, I'm like, man, Zach Wilson's all over the place. We're seeing a little bit of everything. You could see why. The coaches are enamored with him because he's got this great arm. He's very accurate, and it looks like, wow. And then there are those things that happen to him on the field where he has a throwback, and it looks like he's going to be able to catch it and throw it down the field, and he can't catch it. And then he scoops it up athletically and throws it out of bounds. I mean, he's very Brett Favre-esque on the field at times in the first half. But I will say, the 4th and 7 on that first drive, they scored that touchdown in the fourth quarter. That was a money play, because that was, I believe it was 3rd and 13. Uh-huh. He ran for 6, and then he finds Corey Davis, who, by the way, is all of a sudden becoming the man. And, you know, Elijah Moore gets involved, and you saw the energy that the young kid brought. And I don't care about what happened in the first three quarters. All I care about is how you finish the game. And those two drives were about as impressive as they come on the road against the Steelers.
Your mom digs it.
And that offensive line that we worried about going into the game played their asses off. And I think Pittsburgh got a little tired in the fourth quarter, but nonetheless, man, Zach Wilson brought the energy. He made the plays when the plays needed to be made, especially late in the game. He was right there. Breece Hall looked good. Garrett Wilson looks good. You know, and it's amazing when a team wins and your quarterback plays that way, how you have a different perspective of who they are.
Yeah, I was just hoping he wouldn't look overwhelmed, and he kind of did early on, but then settled in and ended up winning a game from behind on the road in his first game back.
And his last two series led to touchdowns, and he made plays. And, you know, according to Twitter and social media and everything else, you know, Breece Hall said that Zach got into the huddle on that last drive and said, let's score an effing touchdown. Love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that. So, all right, it's one game. Now, let's go. Let's take it to the next level. Let's take our job seriously. Let's study. Let's make sure we know the game plan, because you can't win by the seat of your pants all the time. And, you know, the best throws he made were the throws that he made out of the pocket, where they were on time. He knew where he was going, and they were accurate, nose down. And, man, I tell you, I feel as a Jet fan, Is a quarterback look like that at any point in time? A young quarterback that the Jets have had, from Sanchez, Darnold to Wilson in the fourth quarter.
Darnold had some moments at the end of his rookie season when they went on a little bit of a run and he played really well, but no. The answer is no.
Like this kid looked in the fourth quarter like he had a real clue.
Yeah.
And like he knew what he was doing. He wasn't overwhelmed.
You could see the talent.
And
too.
You could see the talent.
Yeah.
It's one game, but it's an important game. And it's exactly the type of thing that we wanted coming in here Monday morning.
Jets-Dolphins Sunday at 1, and Mitchell Trubisky was benched in the second half in favor of Kenny Pickett. All right, Giants-Bears yesterday at MetLife Stadium. Not a whole hell of a lot of passing, but the Giants did what they had to do.
Second and 6 from the 8. Three tight ends, Slayton split right. Play fake, Jones is going to bootleg and roll left. He's going to run it again. Jones to the 5, Jones dives in, touchdown Giants!
And that was Bob Popper. The call here on the Fan. Daniel Jones, 2 touchdown runs, and the Giants beat the Bears 20-12. Monster game for Saquon Barkley, ran for 146 yards. Here was Brian Daboll. Jones left with a sore ankle. Jones said he would keep playing, but Daboll had other ideas.
He said, yeah, as I can go in the game now, I said, Tyrod's going in the game. If we need you, know, hopefully it'll be just to hand the ball off. And so when Tyrod went down, took over to Shea and said, is he good to go? He said, yep.
And he was good to go. I went in there.
He got nothing else. I mean, you did have Saquon Barkley in the
Wildcat.
Yeah.
Here was Jones. Says he's okay.
Feeling good. Probably be a little sore tomorrow, but all good. I'll heal up and get back ready for next
now,
week.
Now, they have other issues, too. Julian Love left with a concussion. We know Tyrod Taylor had the concussion. Evan Neal, a neck injury. And Kenny Golladay, a knee injury. For a team that's already banged up.
A knee injury. How bad?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
When did that happen?
In the game.
Yeah, do you know where?
I really don't know.
And I don't know about this Daniel Jones ankle injury. He thinks he's going to play next week, but you would imagine if Tyrod Taylor, the way he got hit and everything that's going on in the NFL after the Tua thing, that you're not going to see Tyrod Taylor next week.
That was a violent collision.
And you want to talk about a guy who's always hurt. Tyrod Taylor, how many times have you seen him like get in a game and then immediately have to go out because of an injury?
It's like Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes down yesterday like immediately.
Quickly. Yep. So the Giants play the Packers in London Sunday morning. So let's get to that game. Before I do that, I'm going to bounce around here instead of the Chiefs-Bucks. Let's do the Packers-Patriots. This was an overtime game because you got Bailey Zappe came in for Hoyer, who got, I guess it was a concussion as well, as he got crunched down. Mason Crosby winds up winning it with a 31-yard field goal. Here was Aaron Rodgers. He goes, yes, we won, however.
This way of winning, I don't think is sustainable because it's just pushed too much pressure on our defense. And obviously, I got to play better and will play better. But
The second half is our kind of football.
Maybe, but they still could have lost the game. The Patriots had the ball across the 50-yard line in overtime, but they couldn't get a measly few yards.
And a third-string quarterback who gets no practice time whatsoever. And he actually did okay for himself.
I don't think he did bad at all.
No, so this was a Bill Belichick special. Let's take the down clock all the way down under five every time. Let's run the ball. Let's play defense. Let's get good special teams going. And, you know, the only thing that's a little bit... See, Josh McDaniels, if he were the offense coordinator, probably would have been a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Yep. They didn't trust him at all, and I understand third-string quarterback, everything else, but they didn't trust him to throw the ball down the field.
You know
at
if
all.
You give the ball back to Green Bay, though, they're going to go down.
Yeah, well, I know. In overtime, once you have the ball around the 50-yard line, you got to take some shots.
I agree. I totally
agree.
You
do have to take some shots, and they didn't do it. Like, that's the point of the game where in the past— with a young quarterback named Tom Brady, they would have done something there and taken a shot here or there. They didn't even do that.
Just ran it on first down, ran it on second down.
Right.
Sunday Night Football in Tampa. The Chiefs win and beat the Bucs.
At the two, they fake the trap. Now Mahomes scrambling to his right, holding it, gets off the hit, now lunging forward. Now fires it late, caught at the back of the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes with the touchdown pass. His second touchdown pass of this game.
That was Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. Pretty good. 249 yards, couple of touchdown passes for Mahomes. Chiefs win 41-31. Here was Travis Kelce. This kid is crazy.
The NFL hasn't seen anything like Pat Mahomes, I promise you that. And you saw it today. He's the Houdini of our era, man.
Well, we certainly saw that in that play for sure. Chiefs 3-1. The Bucs now 2-2. Tom Brady in the loss, 305 yards passing, three touchdowns, no picks. He says, don't blame the defense for this.
Well, it's a team sport, so, you know, we didn't play great on offense. We didn't help them very much either, so we didn't do great in the first half. Too many missed opportunities on third down, turnovers.
Yep, all add up to a loss at home. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 92 yards rushing and a couple of touchdowns as well, and that would wrap up the day in the NFL. Earlier, the Bills came back from 20-3 down and beat the Ravens 23-20. Very controversial call here. The Bills had come back to tie it. Ravens were inside the 10. They had a fourth and goal. The three would be locked up with Justin Tucker. Could have taken the lead. Instead, they go for it. Jackson gets picked off in the end zone. His thoughts on that play?
I was fine with it, you know, because if we would have executed that, we would have scored a touchdown. That wouldn't even be no question right now. You know, nobody wouldn't be disappointed. Next time we'll get it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, obviously. If it would have worked, then everybody would have been happy. But it didn't work, and I threw a pick. So now everybody's upset.
Understood.
Well, you know, his coach tried to explain this thing after the game. 4 minutes to go in the game. Baltimore has two timeouts left. They've had the ball for about 9 minutes on this particular drive. If they kick the extra point, the defense is rested. I mean, the field goal, the defense is rested. John Harbaugh said, well, analytically, we want this way because we trust our defense. Well, if you trust your defense, give them the lead.
Yeah, kick the field goal.
Kick the field goal, give them the lead. You know, this has been like the last couple of years, the Ravens have lost games here now, late in games. And a lot of it's execution, but that execution is because of the decision-making of the coach.
Well, it's twice this year they've had a 17-point lead and lost the game.
At home.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were Baltimore. Like 103. Since 96, I think. I got to look at it. 103 when they had a 17-point lead at some point in the game since 1996. And this year, they're 1-2 in that same situation.
The Lions scored 45 points and lost. Geno Smith threw for over 300 yards. Seahawks beat the Lions 48-45. The Eagles are 4-0.
Geno's cooking.
Oh, yeah.
He's cooking, baby.
Good for him. Good for him. The Eagles beat the Jaguars 29-21 as they spot Jacksonville a 14-0 lead. So Philly is 4-0. You got the Rams and Niners tonight in San Francisco. And the Heat and Tyler Hero agreed to a four-year extension worth $130 million.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets get swept by the Braves down in Atlanta. Still no 62 for Aaron Judge. And, of course, the Jets and the Giants both win. So now we've got a 3-1 football team and a 2-2 football team. And we're in October.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here. I don't want to take anything away from the players. They got the 3-1 for the Giants, but...
That was a rough football game to watch.
Watchable yesterday.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, and, you know, bootlegs are fine and they're great, but I don't know. You know, what I saw from Zach Wilson in the fourth quarter yesterday was pretty special. I saw a kid that stood in there, delivered the ball where it needed to be delivered, and if he needed to run with it, he ran with it. And, I mean, those two final drives were pretty damn impressive. And what you also saw, like, an offensive line that was going to be maligned coming into the game, especially with, what's his name, going down?
Max Mitchell goes down.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, Jesus, how many more guys do you have? And so, you know, Rob Salah said something last week. You know, we parse everything that he says because he has a losing record and everything. But he said, hey, we're going to be fine with the offensive line. He did say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be pretty right. And they ran the ball effectively, too.
And Elijah Vera Tucker moved over there to a left tackle at one point because that's how, and obviously he's a guard. He was drafted to be a guard. But that's the dire situation that they were in, just losing another tackle.
So here's the thing. So now this week comes Miami, and Miami without Tua. So you got Teddy Bridgewater.
You would assume, right?
No, he's not playing.
Yeah.
So you have Teddy. We may not see Tua again this year. I mean, that's how these people are going to, you know, everybody's going to react to this. I mean, this is like we had an NFL call on Saturday night, you know, before Sunday show, and to try to get the update on everything going on between the NFL and the NFLPA and all. The investigation's still ongoing. And to me, they still have to talk to Tua. You know, what did you say to, you know, the Miami Dolphins on Monday? I mean, on Sunday when you, you know, at halftime. What did you say to get yourself back out on the field? That kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have an answer to that yet because he hasn't been interviewed and he's going through concussion protocol right now. But saying that, Miami loves to blitz. They're like one of the more active blitzing teams like the Giants are. And I would just tell Wink Martindale, you got Justin Fields. It's 3rd and 20. You don't have to blitz. Really, honestly, you don't have to blitz to give up a freaking screen pass to go for 24 yards and a first down. Just sit back. Just take a step back for 1 second and realize who you're playing.
I mean, the Bears are so bad. It's just they are. Now, the Giants have been tough to watch offensively for a number of years. The Bears have been even worse. And that's a proud franchise, just like the Giants are.
Great franchise.
They've got great fans. You know, it's history, everything else. And they are just torturing their fans. I mean, they are awful.
I thought that there was a really good chance many years ago that Coach Cower was going to take that job.
Really?
Yeah. And the reason I say that is because that franchise and its history and, you know, it's the Bears and it's Soldier Field and all of that.
Sort of fits his personality,
that
too.
That could have lured him out of retirement. And I don't know how close he was. I thought, like, that was the only team he would have ever left for. Although I do know that he loves being the only coach, you know, he only coached the Steelers. You know, that was his thing, you know, being the Pittsburgh guy that he is and everything else. But I think the Bears may have been the only other team that he would have thought, because it's the NFC, it's one of the original teams, that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. Just totally that personality fits that area, too.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think for Zach Wilson coming this week, get your crap together, get in there, study, make sure you know everything that's going on, expect the blitz, and when you expect the blitz, you expect to put up a lot of points or at least a lot of yards. You got to get a lot of yards here. You know, Buffalo had over almost 500 yards and ran 90 plays against this defense. And when Tua was playing quarterback against the Buffalo Bills in a game in which he got hurt, the Miami Dolphin offense only ran 39 plays and won the game.
Remember last week I was talking about how the worst case scenario for the Jets would be if Zach Wilson didn't look good and then Kenny Pickett came in for the Steelers at halftime and ended up looking the part and Zach Wilson didn't. And it was actually shaping up in that way because Zach had a tough first half. Then Kenny Pickett comes in at halftime. Everybody's going nuts. The offense looks different. And that's why I give the Jets even more credit, because they withstood that momentum shift. Everybody was going crazy at Acrisure Stadium, and Zach withstood all of that and looked great in the fourth quarter.
And had
back-to-back drives with points.
And by the way, they got turnovers.
Yeah.
And they should have had another turnover at the end of the first half where there was a roughing the passer call.
That's right.
Against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how is that roughing the passer?
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's an emphasis on these things now.
We could probably sit here and they're probably called like 25 times a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we could go through each one of them and just go, yes, I can see that. No, I can't see that. Yes, I can see that. No, I can't. And this is one of those, no, I can't see it.
877-337-6666. Gary is in Brooklyn, wants to talk some Mets. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, Boomer, I met you a couple years ago at Fort Hamilton at the Army softball game a couple years back. Always a fan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I just retired out of the military over 20 years, so unfortunately, I won't be playing in that game anytime soon. Greg.
Yeah.
Gio.
Yeah.
You said something this morning I agree with you about, the wild card banner at City Field. That would be pathetic. It's almost like the almost National League East champions T-shirt that they're selling right now.
They're not putting up any wild card banner, Gary. They did back in
2000.
That's when I won a kind of medal or something. This doesn't mean anything.
I'm telling you, they did. And didn't they put it up for 2016 as well? I think they might have.
God.
Yeah.
So that's pathetic. Now, something I disagree with you on is that you said that the Mets would have coasted to a division championship in almost any other division. But the Mets were 9-11 versus American League teams this year. So I'm just going to throw that out there. In the American League, I think they're going to have a little bit rougher of a time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that to me is... The point is that they got one of the best records in baseball, and they're not going to win a division.
You know, I thought last night was our night when Vogelbach hit the home run.
Well, yeah, and then he also got another RBI,
No, but I was thinking, all right, now.
We got
production out of the DH, you know, because Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, be careful what you wish for, man. You know, maybe someday he'll be a great player.
He's trying too hard. You could tell. He's just trying too hard. He's not himself. I don't know what himself is. I just know the highlights that I see from the minor leagues, but he's just trying too hard. The moment was too big for him.
The other part I thought in this series that really showed itself, plate discipline.
Oh, okay.
I felt like the Mets were swinging at bad pitches again. Yeah, they were swinging at third strikes out of the strike zone, and he was a culprit of that.
Sure. No, absolutely.
And that's probably because he was trying so hard. I don't know. Maybe they'll let him catch one of these games against the Nationals.
At this point, I don't even care what happens. I mean, there's
what
no.
Do you mean at this point,
I'm talking about in this series against the Nationals. Doesn't matter. The Braves are going to win a game. Doesn't matter. Just get your crap together for this wild card series that you never should have been in, and then prove us all wrong. And then those two pitchers that poop the bed on Friday and Saturday. I don't want to hear or see anything but 8 innings of, like, 3-hit ball and hand the ball to Edwin Diaz. Because if you don't, then it's just a complete waste of money. DeGrom, see ya. Go pitch for the Braves. I don't give a crap. Max Scherzer, $43 million, my ass. That's all I care about is those two guys to come back and pitch well. This series with the Nationals doesn't matter. The Braves will win a game. The division's over. They choked it up. They collapsed again. And that's the situation that we're in. But they still have a shot.
Okay.
They still have a shot.
Okay.
Still have a shot.
I'm right there with you. I mean,
how could you not be just completely pissed off?
I was. I'm trying to what? I'm trying to balance, like, some good things that went on yesterday.
Balance. There's good things that went on in other places. Yes, the Jets, the Giants, that was nice.
Just wallow in the misery. We suck. We blew it.
Right.
And this whole thing, just like Gio said, means nothing.
Yep.
Unless they beat the Braves in the NLCS.
Unless you win the National League. If you get to the World Series,
okay,
then fine. But, I mean, this season's just going to be a complete waste if you don't.
If we see the Braves again, it will be in the NLCS.
That's right.
We will have to go through the West Coast of baseball, most likely.
The Padres and Dodgers. Yeah, good luck.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.